It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your two tall Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bull Chitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcast streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Stevens and Big Alaska Show friends. It's Iditarod time, featuring our Iditarod Teacher on the Trail update. Also featuring Mike Ford on the trail. Plus, we have a tall Alaska tale. Designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with my good buddy and co-host, Mike Ford. And Mike Ford, we're into the Iditarod. They've had to restart in Fairbanks because we had no snow. And you went and covered a party at the Odom party there at the start of the Iditarod. And I talked to the teachers on the trail that had come up for the winter conference they had. We have a packed show.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. It means so little of us at the very beginning. And also, just want to remind people, go to BigAlaskaShow.com and listen to our podcast, because you did a really good job on the road to the Fur Trapper Crapper report you did. We need to come up with a thing, though. Is it On the Trail with Mike Ford, or what?
What was the Charles Kuralt?
That's exactly who I was thinking of. Yeah. We almost could call it Almost Kuralt.
Except I don't have a hidden family nobody knows about in Montana. Just to let you know. That always blew me away when I found that out. I'm like, oh, you Charlie, you dog.
Oh, man. We do have a packed show today. We've got Iditarod stuff. The teachers on the trail, fantastic group of people that come up. Using the Iditarod, they teach lessons in their classes all over the world. It's absolutely terrific. And the other thing I really like about the Iditarod, Mike, is it's one of those events that we don't see each other all year, and all of a sudden an event like this comes up, even as small as Anchorage is, and we all get together and get to share stories and laugh it up and all that stuff. And so that's what you did. You went to the Odom party.
Yeah, that was the first for me, and it was a lot of fun right down there. They had it at Sorrento's restaurant right on the avenue, and they brought in a lot more snow from the week before when we were doing the Rondi races. There was actual snow on the street.
Yeah, the week before when you were calling the dog races, the street looked like they had just a spray bottle and glazed it.
Yeah, when you would hear the brakes on the sleds and it was hitting asphalt, and yeah. Our good friend Dave Stroh did a great job of being the MC down there out of the back of the pickup truck for his, I believe it was his 31st time, Uncle Steve.
Isn't yeah, I know. It's,
he's
yeah.
a record. He's an Iron Man.
He's an Lou Iron Gehrig. Man.
Lou
he's
Gehrig of broadcasters in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. If you go to BigAlaskaShow.com and type in Dave Stroh, you will find an interview we have with him. He's a broadcast Hall of Famer here.
Yes, he is.
But of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way, brother.
And you go down a different path after you have some of this stuff, let me tell you.
Folks, the key to a successful radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And nothing stronger than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. Made from an old secret family recipe, Big Alaska Show Blend packs a powerful cup of coffee that's been handed down from generation to generation with the same unique flavor it started with. That's because it is the same cup it started with. And one taste says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt, Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, yeah. it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough of that big Alaska show blend.
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcasts at BigAlaskaShow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We're talking Iditarod, and one of the byproducts of the Iditarod is the social aspect of it. You know, the Iditarod brings people all together, and it's a great time to visit with old friends and meet new ones. So co-host Mike Ford headed over to the Odom Corporation's employee Iditarod party. They're sponsors of the Iditarod, and they throw a really fun Iditarod party for their employees, families, and friends just right there at the starting line. They're old friends of mine, people I grew up around. So I wanted Mike Ford to meet some of my buddies. And this is what it sounded like.
I did the Iditarod Trail.
Robin, you found gold in an outhouse, or is this just a tall Alaska tale?
But you don't really find gold in outhouses.
Okay.
You might find some other stuff in outhouses, but I've never found any gold in an outhouse.
Okay. So what's the story then?
Well, our outhouse is interesting, though, because we save wine labels from all of the bottles of wine that we drink all over the world.
Okay.
And we're out traveling. And my wife takes those wine labels and sticks them on the inside of the outhouse.
Okay.
So when you're sitting there, you can contemplate the world and at the same time read about all the places we've been.
And all the places that people would want to go.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, I see.
Because we try to sign them, date them, and put where we were at the time.
I see. Okay.
So you'll have to come out and see the outhouse.
I'll have to come out to your outhouse.
So I guess you could call it a gold outhouse.
Okay. It's a window to the world.
It is. Well, thank you, Mike. I'm going to go over here.
Nice to meet you.
And find myself some food.
Brother Bill. Mike Ford, how are you? It's good to meet you. How many Iditarods have you seen every one of them?
No, I'm a skier, so this is usually a nice weekend for skiing.
Have you ever been up at the end of it?
You know, I never have. My brother John. I've been to Nome before and after, but not during.
Not during it. Yeah.
Do you ever play out on the polar ice there? They have a Nome Ice Classic out there.
I actually lost a few golf balls out there. Yeah. I got into the polar bear jump too.
Nice
to meet you, Bill.
Mike, have a good time.
You too. Thanks. You can always trust a guy named Mike.
Absolutely.
And Mike, where are you from?
I'm originally from Texas. I've lived in Alaska for 10 years.
Well, Texas is a nice little state.
It is.
What part of Texas are you in?
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Oh, mm-hmm. My stepdaughter was stationed down there for not too long ago.
Wonderful.
Beautiful, beautiful area. Mm-hmm. I used to have a pin that I'd wear when I go to Texas. It's the United States geographically with Alaska. The right size?
Sure.
Yeah.
We love that.
Because you know all the atlases are made in Dallas, right?
So I did not.
Yeah, and that's why Honolulu is as big as Alaska in the atlas. See, I've educated you today, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Is this your first time to the Iditarod?
No, this is my ninth time to the Iditarod.
Ninth time, and what do you think so far?
I absolutely love it. I've been coming to the Odom party for the last probably 8 years.
Nice.
With a little gap there for COVID, but...
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And I actually work mostly in rural Alaska.
Okay.
So I've been lucky enough to see most of the state from Barrow all the way down to Ketchikan and out to St. Lawrence Island off the coast of Russia.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Did you get out to the Walrus Festival out there at Sabunga?
I did not. So I've never been to Sabunga. I've been to Gamble.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope to make it to Sabunga soon.
Yeah, I lived in Nome for a little while. That was lot of fun. A lot of fun to see that end of the Iditarod, and they're all coming in. And...
You know, I've never actually seen the end of the Iditarod. I've seen the Iron Dog come in, but I've never been out there for the Iditarod.
Well, maybe, maybe this next year will be on the wish list.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, keep up the great work.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for talking to me.
You bet.
Sure,
nice
cheers.
To chat with you. So, Adrian, how long have you been with Odom?
I've been with Odom since 2012. I originally started in Fairbanks. I was part of the beer team out there, and then I ventured out here.
So you've been having fun up here?
Yes, trying to make my way in the big city, as they say.
In the big city, okay. Got any favorites on the race this year?
Actually, no. Every time I try to pick a favorite, it doesn't work out that way. So I just like them. I just respect them all for what they do. This summer we went out there and saw all the training and all the preparation and just the sacrifice the owners make. So I don't really have a favorite, but I root for them all.
Nice. And have you been out to a lot of the villages?
I've been out to Bethel, been out to Nome. And then there's still a couple more that I need to get out to with our rural business. This year, it'll take me out to more of the villages. So it's pretty neat to see the impact it has and how the community embraces it.
Yeah.
It's
really good. So, awesome. Well, enjoy the day.
I will. Thank you.
I did the Iditarod Trail. I did the Iditarod Trail.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. We're featuring the Iditarod and especially the education outreach the Iditarod provides. Educators from all over the world use the Iditarod in their curriculum to excite and educate their students on all sorts of topics. Over the last few years, we've showcased the Teacher on the Trail program that involves a teacher selected to attend the Iditarod from start to finish and then report back and blog with their students and educators from all over the world. And last year, the 25th anniversary of the Teacher on the Trail program, we interviewed a group of former teachers on the trail. And they're back up for the Iditarod, and we want to bring them on the show and get a little update with them. We even had a tall Alaska tale for them.
I did the Iditarod Trail.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm here with some of my all-time favorite people. What better group could I be around than educators? We have got Teachers on the Trail. These are educators who've had the distinction of becoming Teachers on the Trail, a designation that is highly sought after, very competitive. And these are the teachers that when you grow up and you think back on who had the impact on you, these are the ones. And they've been real patient to do this with me because they've had a full slate of activities and hit the ground running, and they're from different time zones. So you know how exhausting that can be. They've had long days packed with Iditarod activities, and they just finished an Iditarod winter conference. They're back. Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to our teachers on the trail? Let's start with you, Aaron. Aaron, hey, welcome back. And how's Husky Talk doing?
Oh, it's doing great. And as a matter of fact, because of you, we now use StreamYard. Because I like the platform. And so this year we started using StreamYard and we've had some really great guests. We had that I just posted today was Cleo Hike, who's the co-founder of the Iditarod. So,
well, I'm going to have to come to you to help me learn how to use mine better. I've always learned with my wife, every time I get a new cell phone, I get exactly what she does. Because in the next 3 or 4 days, she has her mastered and people say, how did she do it? And I said, she reads the instructions. And my guys are just, you know, it's incredulous. For those few who have not listened to our show, what is Husky Talk?
So Husky Talk is a podcast, is student edited, student written. And we started it. This is our 8th year doing it.
Wow.
And so we interview anyone that has anything to do with the Iditarod. So volunteers, mushers, people that do the ITI, so the Iditarod Trail Invitational on foot, bike, or skiing. And we've had some pretty incredible guests in the past years, but the students came up with the name. We work on writing the questions together. We're working on conversation, trying to have a conversation back and forth. We started off by just doing it on the phone and recording it. And then we worked our way to Zoom. And then this year we've incorporated the StreamYard, because then if we want multiple guests, we also have a kid doing sound. So he's always backstage kind of doing the sound. And God, yeah.
I need to hire you. What age group are these kids, Aaron?
So about sixth and seventh graders are doing it.
What was it last year? The educator had fifth graders doing DNA sequencing.
We had this kid at the conference today that spoke about trying to make sleds more aerodynamic. It was a fantastic presentation, but just some of the things that kids can do.
Tell us a little bit real quickly where you're from and a little background on how long you've been doing the using the Iditarod.
I'm from Iowa and I've been involved with the Iditarod. Well, I've been coming up here since 2014 when I was a finalist, but I've been using the Iditarod for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. And I just got interested in myself because of the dog. And then stumbled upon the overwhelming website, found out about Teacher on the Trail, and just, I haven't left since, because I really feel passionate about it and enjoy coming back to the relationships I've met with people. And I think as I've been coming from 2014 to now, I think my why for coming up has changed. You know, every few years, I think it changes. Like, you know, this year, I think, you know, I'm to the point where I come back for these connections and things with people. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's always fun to see you. I really enjoy your post. You really make us old athletes put to shame, because I always see you run 100, you know, 100 miles. Now, have you taken up my idea of using starting blocks when you run?
No, not yet.
Well, thanks a lot, Aaron. I'll get back to you and talk to you a little bit about the conference you've been going through and some of the stuff. Julie, last week we did the podcast with you. When were you Teacher on the Trail?
So I was Teacher on the Trail in 2023. So when I got off the trail last year, I needed to regroup, rethink things. It was such a life-changing experience. Ended up taking about a year, a little bit away from Iditarod, and then came back this year for the conference, got a chance to present. And I mean, it's definitely something that you can't stay away from for long. It's pretty engaging and pretty amazing.
And where are you from, and what age groups do you teach?
So I am from Rochester, New York, and I am a kindergarten to fifth grade, like elementary level librarian. So I was the first librarian teacher on the trail, school librarian. So I have a little different perspective than a classroom teacher, but still use it all the time in my teaching and in my library lessons and literature, all of those kind of things.
Now, do you normally use the Iditarod just when the Iditarod's going on?
Start usually in the fall so that my kids have a good background of it. And then we'll use the Iditarod with all different kinds of literature, not necessarily Iditarod literature. So there's a great book called The Magical Yet, and I've used that book, but then tied it into Iditarod when we talk about mushers scratching and coming back for their second rookie year or things like that. So I kind of weave it in all year long.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So obviously dogs are a favorite thing for the kids. What kind of questions do you get? What's the kind of discussions you guys have?
There's a lot of great discussions. I think they come with a perspective and a preconceived notion about dogs as their pets, because that's what they have that knowledge background about. And so, you know, talking with them about these kind of dogs and what they love to do and how that running is their favorite thing, that's kind of a big one around them. And then understanding the amount of gear and the time and the preparation. I think the kids often have a lot of questions of, you know, I'll get a lot of, oh, did you race the Iditarod? And I have to say, no, these are the Olympic level athletes of their sport. This is the big game. And so, you know, helping kids understand the process that it takes to get to Iditarod is a big one that they have a lot of questions about.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to you too here real shortly. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this conference, catching up with you on that. Let's go real quickly to Maggie. So Maggie, where are you from?
I currently live and teach in Mitchell, Indiana, so southern part of Indiana, but I grew up most of my life in Colorado.
Okay. Was it from Colorado you got the interest of the Iditarod and brought with to Indiana? Is that how that worked?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started with, honestly, it was probably the movie Iron Will that got my love of mushing kind of started. And then a former Iditarod veteran, Lachlan Clark, he had visited my mom's church back in the day. And I still have the dog Booty that he gave to me. And that's what I showed my students before I started receiving all sorts of dog booties over the years. And then I traveled quite a bit. My husband was in the military, so we lived overseas, and I went to school overseas, and I loved bringing all of those different experiences into my classroom. So as soon as I started teaching, I knew I wanted to use the Iditarod in my classroom. I like when students don't have an understanding of, well, anything, but a concept of what an area might look like or feel like. And so that's what I saw their excitement with the Iditarod as well. And so we've used it ever since.
What age groups do you work with or your classes?
Yeah, I teach fifth grade. I have always taught fifth grade. I love fifth graders. And up until this year, I've taught all subjects, but this year I only teach math and social studies. So it's been different.
Oh my gosh. You're not a normal human. Well, that's wonderful. But we'll get back to you because we've got much more to talk to you about. Let's go to Linda. It's good to see you again. And Linda, tell us where you're from.
Well, I taught in central Wisconsin when I started with Iditarod, getting involved, and retired from teaching and moved up to Hayward, Wisconsin, my hometown. And I actually then went back into teaching once I got there, and I'm retired again. So,
yeah. Well, how did you get involved in teaching the Iditarod?
Well, I can't even remember the year, but when technology was on a cart and the tech teacher would come to our room and we'd have to have a project. And she came to me and said, "Do you have a project?" And I, of course, said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well, have you ever heard of the Iditarod?" And we put together a tech project and I saw how it engaged the kids. And it grew from there. And one year a parent gave me the application for Teacher on the Trail and I saw how in depth it was. And so I recycled it. And then the next year I printed it again and thought, no. And then the third year I printed it, I filled it out and applied. And that was 2012. I was up here as a finalist and 2013 I was Teacher on the Trail.
Wow. It's sort of like the stock market if you can just live long enough.
True.
And so obviously the grades you taught.
Right. I taught third grade, some fourth in Waupaca when I was full on in my career. And then when I retired and then went back to teaching, I taught K-5 gifted and talented at the Lakotare Ojibwa Reservation School. And that was just the best job I ever had. They loved learning about the dogs, and well, so did my kids in Waupaca, of course, but sure. It was a great experience.
I did the Iditarod Trail. Hey, stick around. We'll have more former teachers on the trail right after this important message. As we say, anyone who gives us money, we call friend, and the more money, the better the friend. We'll be right back.
Get early spring savings on new high-performance windows and exterior doors at Neighbors Windows and Doors. Plan your project now and get locked-in inflation-proof pricing. Triple pane for the price of double pane on all side windows and doors. 15% off exterior fiberglass doors. Plus, take $100 off installation of each window or door. And 12-month 0% financing that starts after the job is complete. For fast quotes, visit neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And thank you for buying local.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. We've been listening to an interview with some former Iditarod teachers on the trail that are up here, and this is part two of that interview.
I did the Iditarod Trail.
You know, I don't want to lose Jim because I know everybody's ready to go and lay face down, and I appreciate it because all these people, this is 4 hours difference, and it's brutal. Jim Dupree, our good buddy, and you're out of the Columbus area in Ohio, right?
And that is correct. Yeah.
You had a major impact on my life. I have to tell you, I did not know that Balto was stuffed in a Cleveland museum. And I remember you telling me the story about how Balto ended up down in California. And you told me he wasn't doing that well. And then this other guy comes along and, you know, takes him and gives him a good life in Cleveland and ends up in this museum. And I remember saying something to you, like when you said Balto wasn't doing very well in California, I was wondering if he was drinking a lot and got into gambling, sort of bottomed out. But we talked about you. We went to this summer, we went to the Iditarod headquarters and saw Togo, you know, the one in, you know, it's stuffed there.
Yeah.
And it gave my wife an idea. And we want to run this by you, Jim, is, so every time a musher's lead dog passes on, if they should have it stuffed and sent somewhere, like to a museum somewhere, and be an educational outreach.
Yeah, you need an awfully big museum.
I know. What years were you a teacher on the trail, Jim?
So I was a finalist in 2020, and so I was supposed to go on the trail in 2021, but of course That was a very different route. That was the Gold Loop year because of COVID. So I deferred my trail duty to 2022. So I was able to be out there for the 50th anniversary, which is pretty incredible.
Lo and behold, you're back. And again, it's a different Iditarod.
You know?
You're a glutton for change, man. This is going to be an interesting thing. What grades were you working with your kids?
So I've primarily been a third grade teacher for most of my career. I did second grade for a couple of years, and even fifth grade for a couple of years when I was in North Carolina. But in Ohio, I've pretty much done third grade for the majority of the time.
Yeah. Do you adjust every year, or do you pretty much teach the same thing as year after year? Or do you sort of read your room and adjust to it?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends. Like, I do try to tweak it every year. I do try to keep it a little bit fresh for each group of kiddos that comes through my door. This year, we were able to do that with the centennial of the Sarum Run, which was pretty incredible. So we followed a musher who actually ran the bloodlines of Togo and re-ran the Sarum route for the last few weeks. And so we were tracking his progress. And so that was something that was super special just for this year. So that was really kind of cool to watch the kids engage with that before we even started talking about Iditarod.
Talk about some of the things you did this week, Jim. Why don't we start with you and I'll just work backwards. What are some of the things you did this week? Just give people an idea how busy a week you had.
Oh, well, we started Tuesday with our conference in the classroom. We heard from all three of these wonderful former teachers on the trail that are also with us here. They started with their presentations about how they use it, Iditarod, in their classrooms. And then in the afternoon was really something that I thought was super special. We had both Jeff Schultz and John Van Zyl together in the same room, kind of one following the other with presentations and talks, because they do a lot of collaboration with each other. And so having those two legends in the same room at the same time was pretty incredible. And then Tuesday wrapped up with Liz Millman, who was there representing the veterinarians who volunteer for the race.
Yeah, I still remember Rob Urbach said to me, when he comes back in the next life, he hopes to come back as an Iditarod dog.
Yeah.
You know, because of the care. Let's talk a little bit about the conference. You saw the presentations. What are some of the takeaways, Jim, of this conference? Are these things you're going to implement in your class?
Great question. Absolutely. I mean, Wednesday we ended up going to vet checks in the morning at Iditarod headquarters, and then we went out to Matthew Failer's kennel in the afternoon. And just some of the stories that we've heard throughout the conference from Matthew, from some of the other presenters that we had on Thursday, Katie Jo Dieter, we had Emily Robinson, we had Barb Reddington, and the one that I was really impacted most by was Bridget Watkins, who was just an incredible storyteller, talking about her run-in with a moose. I don't think I'll ever forget that. And so my big takeaway is going to be just the stories that I can then come back and share from experiencing it here first person at this conference.
And Linda, for you, talk about your experience with this conference and some of the takeaways for you.
Well, this year's conference I thought was outstanding. And just the emotions, like when we talked about Jeff Schultz and the Van Zyls being in the room at the same time, just to hear their stories, they got emotional. I got emotional. The emotions when Bridget was telling her story, teachers, I mean, we were all riveted. This was a great conference here. It just was. All the speakers, all the teachers who were there were just incredible. And we were so happy to be able to share this with so many teachers. So it was great. It was really fun.
What's something you did this week that's going to stick out? I know it's a blur, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've actually been here for 2 weeks because I came, Maggie, well, she can tell you, Maggie's been here for a couple weeks. So I came to help get the stuff organized that, you know, we have bins of EDU stuff. So I got that. And the takeaway, oh my goodness. I really think my biggest takeaway was Bridget Watkins and the story that she told. And I knew about her story about the moose, but hearing her tell it, it was amazing.
The natives have an old saying that if you're attacked by a bear, you know, 400 or 500 stitches, but if you get attacked by a moose, it's relentless.
It's life-threatening.
Moose are really one of my favorite creatures. They're just, and I've done a whole thing on Mother's Day. I always do a tribute to Mama Moose. So, you know, that's so cool. Well, Maggie, we might as well jump to you because you were 2 weeks on and getting a head start before everybody else got here. Why don't you follow up and talk about some of the experiences you had this week and some takeaways from the conference?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to kind of start by saying that I'll never forget the email that I received in the spring of 2023 that there was going to be a conference in the lower 48. And I was so excited because, and I remember I may or may not have run through the hallways, which of course, big no-no, but I went into the office and I was just over the moon excited. I signed up immediately for the summer conference that was in the UP of Michigan that year. And at that moment, I knew I'd already been debating if I wanted to apply to be the teacher on the trail. And I'd started my application and then put it on hold and continued it a little more. And that was my defining moment for me, that I wanted to take advantage of any moment that I could be surrounded by people that had the same passion that I did. And to be, my entire school takes on Iditarod with me, but I'm still the crazy kind of, I feel like I'm the Iditarod nerd. I am the Iditarod nerd in my classroom and in my school. But there are so many other teachers out there that use Iditarod. And I love getting emails from teachers throughout the whole year, but this week especially, telling that they're following the race, their students are excited. And so, of course, then we get to this week where, again, I am surrounded by additional people that I haven't met before, but that we just automatically connect. It is so fun to hear where people are from, what their background is like, but we not only share the passion of education, we also share this passion of the Iditarod. And so we connect on a different level. And biggest takeaway, I mean, this week's been a little crazy anyways as the current teacher on the trail, but I would say, again, maybe just one.
It's real unfair because just so people know, you have just finished your, this has just ended, right? The conference just ended today, right?
Yes.
And so this was what, 3 or 4 days of conference and all the other activities. So it's a real unfair thing to jump right in. And
I think I've got it. So
I think you do too.
I, To teachers and to students, these mushers are almost like celebrities to us. They are so incredible. They accomplish something that we never probably could, although there are teachers who have run. But the way that our students get excited about watching the mushers and their teams and everything, then you get up here and you talk to a musher and they are so humble. They are so appreciative of what we do. And I think it's the moments like that when a musher is like, oh yeah, I'll talk to your class. Like, are you sure they want to talk to me? And we're like, yes, they really do. So it's little moments, I guess, maybe like that, and seeing the Iditarod from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that anyone who's involved with the Iditarod knows how much we as educators appreciate and need that in our students' lives. So, yeah.
Let's talk to Julie. Julie, talk a little bit about the activities and the conference and some of the things that you're taking away this time.
So I think one of my big takeaways that never ceases to astound me, but also inspire me, is kind of the incredible universality of people that are fans of Iditarod. That there are people from, I think my preconceived notion several years ago, the first time I came up here, was that most people were going to be from Alaska. And then you meet, you know, the woman from South Carolina who's going to be a trail guard, and then the veterinarian from Oklahoma, and the lady from Maine who's going to be working the restart. And it's just an incredible community of people, and that are brought together in this commonality. And then to kind of piggyback on that, I'm always astounded at the number of volunteers it takes to make this race happen and the diversity of roles, and how if you care about Iditarod, there is something for you to do here. Obviously, as educators, we're really passionate about teaching it, but there are people that are needed to do just about everything. And when that all comes together and this race goes on, it's a phenomenal experience to say I was a small part of that community.
A thought I had is the Iditarod, this is one product that the Alaska exports. So much of our companies here now are owned by outside corporations and, you know, outside interests. But the one thing that we export is the Iditarod. And it's wonderful to hear the benefits of that, and that you're spreading that and using that. You guys are just so, so awesome. Aaron, you're a jock, you're an athlete. You've been coming here for a few years, and have you noticed any difference in the athletes now? I mean, is there anything that it's sort of evolved, changing?
One thing that I've noticed, and we've talked about this week, is how the mushers themselves, it seems like they're a lot, we've lost the old timers, if you will, and we're getting into the younger generation. The same with the volunteers, there are all these, the older generation, right? And people have to replace them at some point, and we need to keep getting people involved to continue to follow the race, to replace these volunteers that have been doing this for 30 to 40 years. And I think, you know, our mushers for many years, there were 70, 80 mushers. Now we're down to 30. There's the economy. There's a lot of things, but we still need to continue, like Joe wanted to do, is to preserve that. And in order to do that, you have to continue to push out this event to the younger generation.
Absolutely. And through you all, it grows. It'd be interesting for you to go back to some of your students for a few years ago when you started introducing them and seeing, get their feedback on how that's affected their lives. What's some of the takeaways from this year's conference, Aaron?
Well, there were really good presenters. I learned something new every year, but the big one, and Jim mentioned her, was Bridget Watkins. And she could be used in your classroom in more ways than just Iditarod. I mean, she spoke of her challenge just to get to the starting line and her challenge to get to the finish line, and how much grit and perseverance she had. And she just inspired me. Like, I think of how hard things are for me, and if I can just use what she shared with us, she is a fantastic storyteller. And I bought her book. I'm looking forward to reading it, but she was super inspiring. And I think that schools should have her come speak to them, so that she can share those stories of just how hard things are and you can still fight through it. And I think she would be a great speaker all over the country.
What can we do? We're in the media. what are things we can do? I'm a real big fan of educators. What's something that we should be letting people know about our education? Erin, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I think just posting everywhere. I mean, today's generation is all over social media. We talked about that a lot today and how it's a little changed. And maybe people aren't necessarily reading blogs and stuff. Maybe they are, but the younger generation wants their information immediately. Like, they want it right now. So they don't want to wait till the end of the day to find out how a musher is doing. So maybe that's changing the way that we share that information, which we do have the live feeds and the videos, but like they still don't want to wait 6 hours. The new generation wants their feedback and things immediately. So maybe we need to change, or the media needs to change, and still post those things at the end of the day, but along the day, posting little short reels, I guess they call them, so that people can have that immediate. I want to know where they're at right this second. I don't want to wait. So I don't know. That's a thought of mine.
Well, they're going to hate the Big Alaska Show. We operate in geologic time here, man. I'll tell you. So, Julie, how can we kind of help out? What's something that you would like for us to do? I mean, we have a platform.
Well, and I mean, that kind of speaks to the librarian at my heart. The heart of everything I do is that access to good information, you know, making sure that kids have books and have access to books so that they can read and figure out what this race really is about. You know, the idea that I am never going to get out on a dog sled, like I can very clearly say I will not be racing this race ever in my lifetime. But if I want to know what that's like, I can read Bridget Watkins' book. I can read Kristen Knight Pace's book. I can read Jeff King's book. Those books are, and that literature and those memoirs are going to give me a window into that world. And so for our students to get that window and for the public to get that window is going to give them correct and essential information. So, you know, like you said, I love that you have like a book list and you have a way to promote some of these stories so that people are seeing the side of Iditarod that we all see.
Maggie, any idea you can throw into that? You're smart.
Oh, thank you. There's a couple things that come to mind. I think, you know, I think about when people share things on social media, a lot of times it's not so much for this will, it's something that's personal to that person. And I think that instead, if we could get more push, more like, hey, if you have a teacher friend, or for my teacher friends out there, use this resource, pay, like just sending or reminding those that even if an interview that you do or whatever it may be, may not be something that someone would share for themselves, but maybe to share with the teacher friends that they have. That's stuff that we kind of, when we're on Facebook and we see teacher, our eye goes straight to that.
Jim, anything that comes to your mind?
I guess the first thing that does come to my mind, I mean, you said it earlier. You said that you were our biggest fan. Well, right back at you. I mean, if you ever need help, like promoting Iditarod, I mean, education department, we are all in for it. So, you know, just the more that we can get the word out about the education, about the Iditarod itself, we're all in.
Linda, any thoughts from you?
Well, yeah, I read an article in the Anchorage paper last week that they are cutting the budget here for education. And we need teachers, and we need good teachers, and we need class sizes that are doable. We heard a remarkable young man today who redesigned the sled because he was given the opportunity to do that. And so we need to do that in our classrooms and just be a little more open. Our teachers are the experts in the classrooms. I don't want to get political, but the politicians aren't. Yeah. And we're there, and we know what kids want, and we just need to promote this a little bit more.
Thank you so much. First of all, I appreciate all you guys. And I'm sorry I've been jumping around a lot, but it's like seeing old friends. But you talk about stories. Now, one thing I want to do with you guys, because you're educators and you're much smarter than Mike and I are, as we say, we can look through a keyhole with both eyes. We do a thing called Tall Alaska Tale. And I'm going to play for you guys a little tale. And I want to ask each one of you, tell me if you think it's the truth or a no good lying through your tooth Tall Alaska Tale.
Here we go.
The Iditarod has a remarkable history of Alaskan folklore, but perhaps one of the most remarkable lives of any associated with the Iditarod has to be that of Colonel Norman D. Vaughn. Vaughn was born on December 19, 1905 in Salem, Massachusetts, and lived to be over 100 years old. But he didn't come to Alaska until the age of 68. Bankrupt and divorced, he rebuilt his life, competing in 13 Iditarod races, and even crashing the presidential inauguration parade in 1977, bringing sled dogs to represent his adopted state. In 1997, he organized the annual Norman Vaughn Serum Run to commemorate the 1925 Serum Run to Nome, which saved the town from a diphtheria epidemic. But that was only part of his remarkable adventure. In 1928, Norman dropped out of Harvard when he heard that Admiral Richard E. Byrd was organizing an expedition to the Antarctica. Admiral Byrd accepted him on the 1928-1930 expedition, eventually naming a mountain on the continent in his honor. It was during this time Norman was at the Antarctica with a group doing research on the ice depth. They're extremely hungry and cold, virtually hypothermic, which can be a life-threatening condition. They only had a little bit of steak, which would certainly stave off the effects of hypothermia. The problem was one of their members was a Jesuit priest whose vows prohibited him from eating meat on Fridays. But in these dangerous conditions, the priest almost broke his vows until they remembered, wait a minute, we're at the South Pole. Took some coordinates, walked over 200 yards, which put them in the day before, whereupon they ate the meat. Is this the truth or no good lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tale?
All right. So, Aaron, I'm going to start with you. What do you think? Is this a truth or a no good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tale?
I think it's true, but I read his book. I ordered the book off eBay and it came to my house, and whoever owned it prior's name was Aaron because it was signed by Norman Vaughn to Aaron. And so now I have a signed copy to Aaron from Norman Vaughn. I'm going to say true.
That's hilarious. And now we'll go to Julie. Julie, your thoughts.
I think most of it is true, but I trust Aaron, so I'm going to say true.
What a weenie. I'm with you. Okay, Maggie, it's your turn. What do you think?
Yeah, there was a lot of information there, and I feel like it's a trick question in some ways, so I'm going to say true.
There's a curve. All right, now we go to the great Jim Dupree.
Sure. I am, since everybody said true, I'm gonna say false, just see, so that like one of guys. Us will get it right. Yeah,
men. Yes. Linda, how about you?
I think most of it is true. The only thing I question is that what was the year 97 or something like that.
Thank you for your time. I know you guys have had a full week, ready to take a break, but thank you for doing this. You make a difference in people's lives, and we see it all the time. Let's give our Iditarod teachers on the trail a big Alaska Show thank you and continued success.
I did the Iditarod Trail. I did the Iditarod Trail.
So I have a confession to make. When we recorded this interview with the teachers on the trail and they listened to the tall Alaska tale and answered it the way you've heard, I wouldn't give them the answer. I told them they'd have to wait till this show to hear the answer. But they were so disappointed, and I felt sorry for them. They'd spent a whole week-long Iditarod tutorial and they were tired. So I told them the answer. I sat down face-to-face with Colonel Norman Vaughn, who told me this story. And what a privilege it was to sit down with a man that's 100 years old and had been with Admiral Byrd in two expeditions to the South Pole and to talk to him about it. And then for him to tell me this story. Now that's what I love about the Iditarod. So that's our show. The Iditarod does so much good. It promotes a can-do spirit. It excites and educates kids around the world, and it's a scientific leader in dog care. And yet the Iditarod has lost corporate sponsorship because of being misrepresented by PETA about the care the dogs get. When the truth is, PETA should be endorsing the care the Iditarod dogs get. Hi-ho, hi, Iditarod Trail. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank our guests, Linda, Maggie, Aaron, Jim, and the Odom gang for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tunnel, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee to cut through the early morning fog. Visit BigAlaskaShowBlend.com. If it's Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good line through your tooth, tall Alaska tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.